Blog Talk Radio. Have to stand before God. What is in your book? that only we individually can answer. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, thankful, grateful, and blessed for another day, for another opportunity to do what you have called me to do, to read your word, to speak what you tell me to speak, and to do what you tell me to do. Lord God, I lift up this word this morning, praying that every listener, every person who hears this word, that it will touch their hearts, it will touch their minds, it will touch their spirit. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for another day to give you honor, to give you glory, and to give you hallelujah praise. As I pray every day, Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father God, are my strength, and you, Lord God, are my redeemer. I ask you, Lord God, increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name I pray, lifting up every listener, asking you to bless those that listen live and those that listen later with overflow blessings as we end this year. Lord God, I pray for the saints of God who have gone before us this year, that they each rest peacefully in your loving arms. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, I'm all excited. I got my new King James Bible yesterday with the big print so a girl can see. I was quite happy about it. And so I can go back and forth in the Word with my King James. I have one, but I wanted one that was a little bigger so I could see it better without my glasses. So thanking God. Because I feel that you don't ever have too many Bibles. That's just my own personal opinion, that there is no such thing as too many Bibles. Because you never know when God may put it on your heart to give one away. Hallelujah. Be willing and ready, because you just don't know what God will do. Because the Bible that you buy, that you love so much, might be the one that you got to give away. And give away with a heart of happiness. Because somebody asked you, do you have an extra Bible? And God said it to him, yes, I do. And here it is. It's one ear for you. Wow, look at God. So let's get into our word this morning. We are finishing up Zechariah this morning, and we'll be in Zechariah chapter 13 and 14. We'll be finishing up Psalms 149, and we will be in Revelation. We'll be starting the 31st Proverb, which is that proverbial woman. I was like, go on with yourself, King Lemuel. Revelation chapter 20. And then on tomorrow, church announcement, on tomorrow, we will have a broadcast. We do not normally broadcast on Saturday morning, but there will be a 7 a.m. broadcast tomorrow morning to end the year and end the Bible in 1 year. So we will be finishing up Malachi. We'll again chapters 1 through 4, and that will be the end of the Old Testament. We will be finishing up 150th Psalm, which will be finishing our Psalms. And we will be in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, which will finish our Proverbs. And we will be in Revelation chapter 21 through 22, And that will be the completion of the Bible in 1 year. And I'm getting filled up. Think about how God has given us an opportunity to read and study his word across the airwaves in 1 year. And only God can do that. To give you the patience to say, I'm going to get up every morning and I'm going to read this word. And I don't care, God, if I'm the only one out there reading it and the only one out there listening to the words that are coming. As I said, are you hearing the words coming out of my mouth? If I'm all by myself, God, it's all right. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I'm so grateful that God has given me the opportunity to, in 1 year, with life principles. Thank you, Dr. Charles Stanley, for this magnificent Bible with common sense, life lessons, and questions. Not all high and mighty theologians, but just common sense questions based on scripture. And all I can say is thank you and thank God for you. So this year and the year coming up, starting on Sunday, we will be again in the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I am coming out of the New King James Version, and I am so grateful. And I am not paid by Dr. Stanley or his ministries to hawk this Bible, but I can tell you now, when I went to order it for someone at ChristianBooks.com, it was sold out. It is on back order. So get this Bible. It is one of the best Bibles I have ever had in my biblical arsenal, and I got a lot of them. Like I said, I just got a new King James. I have a King James, and I have one that's still in plastic that is a display Bible that I have never taken out, and it has all the paintings and pictures of one of the great artists, and so that one is just my display Bible. But I also have my Greek and my Hebrew Bible that when I really have a question, I can go to and open up and say, okay, what is the translation from this Hebrew to this English? And does it say the same thing that King James said? You know, so it's kind of neat to have that and to have, you know, my chronological Bible so I can look at it and say, okay, this is how it should have been written. Because as we know, when we go to different words in different chapters, it's different. We'll have something that we read months ago, you know, in Exodus, or what we read in the Kings, and we got it in the Prophets, you know. So different, but it's great. And again, thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this magnificent Bible. And now we're going to get into it. Because we don't want to run out of time. Because I got to go to work. So let's do this thing. And praise God with me. Thanking him every day that he gave you another day. So thank you, God. I give you praise. I give you honor. And I just say hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And the word of God in Zechariah Chapter 13 says, in that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to depart from the land. It shall come to pass that if anyone still prophesies, then his father and mother who begot him will say to him, you shall not live because you have spoken lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who begot him shall trust him bless him too, and he probably does. And it shall be in that day that every prophet will be ashamed of his vision. When he prophesies, they will not wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive, but he will say, I am no prophet. I am a farmer, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones, and it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die. Did you hear that? Zechariah is a revelation prophet. And what he is saying is pretty close to some of the things that John saw. The revelations. And he says it, says the Lord, that two-thirds it shall be cut off and die, and one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. Chapter 14, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity. The remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azazel. Yes, you shall flee, as you fled from the earthquake in the city of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The light will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night shall happen that it will be light. And in that day it shall be that living water shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name is his name one. Read that again. That's not highlightable. The Lord is one, and his name one. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Ramin, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. The people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouth. And I'm just saying, Does this not sound like a nuclear weapon? It's some scary stuff. It shall come to pass in that day that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against his neighbor's hand. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. Such also shall be the plague on the horse and the mule, on the camel and the donkey, and on all the cattle that will be in those camps. So shall this plague be. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that everyone of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. On them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pot in the Lord's house shall be like the bowl before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord. Oppose everyone whose sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day, there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. And we have read our Psalms this morning, our 149th Psalm, verses 5 through 9, we read at the beginning of the show this morning. And we're going to go back into our life lessons from Zechariah. And the first one is this in the scripture, the first verse of Zechariah 13. In that day, a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. God often uses a fountain to picture himself as our source of salvation. As a fountain, he overflows with mercy and grace. As a fountain, he refreshes. And as a fountain, his love must be individually taken in. Water brings life, and living water brings eternal life. God calls himself our spring of living water. See Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 13, and we're going to go there this morning very quickly. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hold them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's the word. The Spirit is a stream of living water in us. And His living water is our forever. What a word. Jeremiah chapter 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Think of it. The Lord called for the sword against His Son, Jesus Christ. He planned the event of the cross. He willingly bruised His only Son. And He did it for you. He did it for me. He sacrificed His Son, my sinful self. Because I'm not perfect and none of us are. Only His Son was perfect. And He died for me. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5. Thus the Lord my God will come and all the saints with you. Did you know that the Bible contains almost three times as many predictions of the second coming of Christ as it has for his first coming. He is coming again, and he wants us to be ready. And we're going to go really quick to Matthew chapter 24. Why? Because I love Matthew. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24 and join me in verse number 44. Matthew 24 and 44. And again, it's a Jesus word. It's all I read. It says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. We got to be ready, because Jesus is coming, and he's coming back like a thief in the night. You will not know when he is coming, but he is. And because we have a couple more minutes, I'm going to go back and read the 149th Psalm, verses 5 through 9. You know, so that when you talk about the sword, as we read in Zechariah, it's in Psalm 2. And it says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high priest of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. God is holy, and he loves you. He loves me, and I'm grateful. Proverbs 31, and this is that woman, that wife. I want to make sure I put, you know, we hear people that she's a Proverbs 21 woman. If she's a wife, and that's what it tells his son. He says, the words of the king of Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him, what my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows, married again. Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drinks, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the case of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Catch that. I'll read it one more time. Open your mouth for the speechless in the case of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. How many people complain about the homeless, complain about folks asking for money that are in need. And I understand, but you got to ask for discernment. Lord, show me this and show me the ones that are truly in need. Because God knows who's who. God knows who's who. And I watched the video yesterday, and it was so right on point. And it showed this homeless man, what appeared to be a homeless man laying on the street, and in his little container was some change. But there was also like a $20 bill, or, you know, I don't know, it might even have been a $50 bill that was laying underneath this little tray. And this young woman, who was on her way to get a job at a company, picked up the money, the dollars, whatever it was, $50, $20, whatever, put it in a pocket and throw some change in this little container and goes on. Then another young man comes up, because he puts more money down, and he again takes the money out from under the tray, puts it in his pocket, and walks on. But each one, you know, touches the man to see if he's awake before they steal his money. And then the third one comes along, and he shakes the man awake and gives him the dollar bill and says, you don't want this to be stolen or lost. And he says, put this away so nobody can see it. And then he goes on about his business. And then he looks in his pocket and hands him some more money, bills, whatever they may be. He hands him what he has in his pocket. And he goes on. And then they all are in this building, and they all come for their interview. And so the two thieves is what I call them. They came in, and there was somebody, and she was cleaning the floor. And the one, they made a comment about, oh, could you get that corner over there? Because it's still nasty. You're not doing a good job. It's just very rude and nasty to the help. As the young man, who again, had been kind, he tells her good morning, you know, after she needs any help. You know, just kind. And she comes out, speaks to the boss, who looks like the homeless guy, and says they still didn't pass. Talking about the two. But the one did. And the next thing, you know, comes in and she talks to them. This is a different person. And takes them in to get food. And as they go in to get food, the boss, again, just like the homeless man, comes in and says, can I have some food? And the one says, ew, you stink, get out of here. The first thief. The second thief takes a handful of something and throws it at the man. And the third one, again, the kind one, he turns around, he grabs a plate of food, and he says, here, guys. Here, take this. It's more than enough here for us. Will you take this? But you need to get out before security comes and tries to take you out. I don't want you to get in trouble. And I'm paraphrasing this. And then as everything is said and done, he comes back, you know, cleaned up, just as the boss that he is, and tells the dude, you didn't go. Selfish. And, you know, you didn't call them thieves, but I'll say it. They were thieves. They were selfish. They were. Sanctimonious thought that they were better than anybody else. And guess what? The third guy pleads for them. For them to be given another chance. And the boss said, okay, I'm going to give you another chance. He gave the thief a judgmental privilege. Young people, a second chance. And I bring it to the word that I'm trying to get to is that even us, these sinners, all the things that we do, God gives us a second chance. He allows us to fall. And he loves us just the same. Get into our Revelation's word this morning, and it says this, it says, then I saw an angel. We're in chapter 20 of Revelation, so please get your Bibles and turn to it. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 4,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, those whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of the heavens and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And as we go to our life question this morning, it says from Revelation 20 and 3 first, and then we'll go to the life question from Revelation 20 and 10. 23 says, after these things, he must be released for a little while. Why must Satan be released after his long imprisonment? Why doesn't God judge him immediately? God uses Satan to reveal the unconverted hearts of those who pretend to love God. Come on now. Revelation 20:7-9, and then Satan meets his final judgment. And when we go to this question for verse number 10, and as we read verse number 10, and it says this, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in his last question. What role does Satan play in your adversity? And once again, Satan is ultimately behind all adversity. He is directly responsible for leading Adam and Eve astray and for the catastrophe that followed. But his involvement in adversity extends far beyond his activity in the Garden of Eden. Several biblical accounts illustrate Satan's role in adversity. We find the clearest example in the story of Job. Those who attribute all adversity to sin of some kind or to a lack of faith have a difficult time. They attribute Job's problems to his pride or the sin of his children. But the Bible puts those theories to rest in Job chapter 1:1, where it describes Job as a blameless and upright and one who fears God and shuns evil. Later, God himself says to Job, there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Job 1:8. Job was a righteous man whose adversity did not come as a result of sin. In fact, an ensuring discussion between God and Satan spells out why Job suffered the way he did. Satan accused Job of following God only because the Lord had blessed him and protected him. Take away that protection. Satan challenged, and Job would curse God to his face. So Satan set out to destroy all Job had. Yet Job continued to serve God and walk in his ways. So Satan made another request of God, asking him permission to afflict Job's body. And we know in Job chapter 2, clearly Job's adversity came from Satan, who dared God to send adversity into Job's life. God in turn permits Satan to do the dirty work. The permission came from God. The adversity came from the devil. Peter tells us that Satan roams around like a lion, seeking whom he can destroy. Often, and that's in 1 Peter 5 and 8, often we take Peter's words as referring to Satan's involvement in our temptations, but the real context is that of suffering. Satan roams the earth looking for ways to bring adversity into our lives. He wants us to suffer because suffering has the power to damage or even destroy one's faith in God. Peter instructs believers to be on the alert so that in the midst of their suffering, they will not lose sight of who is causing it, as well as how God is going to use it. 1 Peter 5, 9, and 10. Also an important thing we should always keep in mind is that Satan will not be able to torment us forever. Revelation 20 and 10 promises the devil who deceived them was into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Satan will be punished greatly for the way he has caused us to suffer, and one day we will hear the wonderful proclamation, salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren who are cursed them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We read that in Revelation chapter 12. And as we finish up our life lessons this morning from Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 20 and 12, the dead were judged according to their work. I can't be judged for you and you can't be judged for me. We can only be judged for what we do. It says those who do not depend on Christ for their salvation will be judged according to their work. Since all have sinned and the wages of sin is death, they will all receive the wages they earn, the second death. And as we go into Revelation 20 and 15, anyone not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Every time I read that, I don't like heat like that. I don't like heat like that. I like to be comfortable, but I don't like that kind of heat. And fire is not offering. So understand, where do you want to spend your eternity? Screaming and in torment day and night from fire and brimstone in a lake, like a lava pit. Just call it a lava pit. Forever and ever, and not be able to die. Not be able to sleep. Not be able to leave that location. Because those who place their faith in Jesus Christ have their names permanently written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who depend on their own efforts to reach heaven will instead find themselves in the lake of fire. All these folks out there looking for eternal life without God, yeah, you're going to get it in a lake of fire. We have to be careful what we wish for. I just wish that one day when it's my time in God's will, that when I spend my time, I spend it in the presence of the Lord. And our prayer for this morning is, I praise you. You have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. John 16:22. SB. God of my past, present, and future, you hold me together when everything seems to be falling apart around me. You release your love into the gaping wound that threatens to take me out. Heal and let your salve of grace cover every sore spot, muting the thing that incessantly draws attention to itself. I long to know you in my pain as well as my joy. I know that you meet me in the reality of my circumstances, that you don't leave me there to wallow. You never leave me the same. You are always calling me up while empowering me with your strength. I praise you today for your gentle presence that imparts strength and courage to my soul. No one can take away what you give, my good Father, and I open my heart to receive from you today. Here I am. Heal your backup. And the question for this morning is this: what circumstances can you turn into praise today? Hallelujah. What circumstances can you turn into praise today? And again, as we get ready to wrap up and open lines, if there's anyone that has a word from God, now is the time to open your line. I have not gotten a word this morning from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Whenever we get it, you will hear it on tomorrow. So I thank God for my sister in Christ because we are finishing a little earlier than normal. And we haven't gotten it yet, but I know that we will. But in the meantime, one of our other sisters in Christ sent this beautiful word, and it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, that he is faithful, that promise. Hebrews 10:23. And that's, thank you, Sister Tracy, for that word this morning. And as we get ready, if there's no one that needs to speak, and our mother is on the line to wrap us up this morning. Mother
Good
Valerie,
morning,
Pastor. Mother Valerie.
Good morning.
Your word
Good morning,
today
Pastor.
Is this.
Yeah, I like what you were talking about in Revelation. It said the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, for the beast and the false prophet are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I'm looking forward to my name being in the book of life. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm coming out of 2 Samuel 22. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my strength. In whom will I trust? My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surround me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surround me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the heavens quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coal was kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherubim and flew, and he was seen upon the winds, the wings of the wind. God rode upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him, dark water and thick clouds of the sky from the brightness before him. Coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, sent out arrows and scattered them like boats, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered. At the rebuke of the Lord and at the blast of his breath, of his nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out in a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted. He delighted in me. The Lord revealed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not done wickedly, departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me. All of his judgments were before me. And as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness in his eyes. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble person. You will, Lord. You will save the humble person. But your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the truth. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He's a shield to all who trust in him. He is a shield. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and my power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on a high place. He teaches my hand to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of brass. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there were none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the street, and I spread them out. You have also delivered me from the striving of my people. You have kept me in the head of the nation. A people are not known to serve me. The foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted. The rock of my salvation. It is God who avenged me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O God, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David, his descendant, forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. God is my rock and my salvation.
Praise ye the Lord. What a word. Thank you so much, Mother. Praise ye the Lord. What a best way to end this morning. Praise ye the Lord. Can everybody just say that today? Praise ye.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord.
Praise Lord.
The Lord is my rock and my power. Praise ye the Lord. We got to praise God this morning because we all fall short of his glory, but when we give him praise, it's like a sweet aroma to his nostrils. God wants to hear our praise. God wants to hear our praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. You're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of our praise. Hallelujah. So, Mother, as we wrap it up this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, asking God to continue watching over the women of God in your family, over Mother Rita and Mother Jan, as they watch over you, Mother Valerie. We thank God for you, women of God. We thank God for your wisdom. We thank God for your grace that he has given you to impart in all of us. So we thank God for all of the things that he has done. We praise the Lord God this morning. And we know that all things are working for our good. And all we can pray is that our name is in the book. Hallelujah. Mother, I want my name in the book.
Amen.
And I want it on the good, as they say, I want it on the good list. I want it when that book is open and God says, well done, my good and faithful servant, which we will have in our word on tomorrow. I am absolutely praying that my name is on that list. My name is in that book. That when he opens my book, there's a whole lot less in than there is anything else, that I have done more than what he has ever asked me to do. Because I do it with a love for him. And as the word says, let the high praises of God be in your mouth. And we say again, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Mother, I give it over to you to pray us out this morning as we have started doing. Pray us out, Mother. And then it is a wrap, Bam, because I really do have to go to work.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank and praise you for who you are. We thank and praise you for forgiveness of sin, normally and unnormal. We thank and praise you for the brightness of the day. We thank and praise you for the sunset. We thank and praise you, God, for you are God and there is none like you. We give you praise and honor and glory. We thank and praise you for Pastor Bridget, and we want you to bless her family. And I'm hoping to see her family New Year's Eve because we're going into a new year. Bless all the people that she comes in contact with. Keep her family safe. And bless my family. Oh, God, we just praise you for family because there's nothing else. Family is important. And we pray for our families, God, the ones that are not saved. We pray for the ones that are saved because we know that you reign on the just and the unjust. Well, you are merciful. You would that everybody would be saved, but we know that everybody won't be saved. And, Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory. But this is another 24 hours, and we can only live 24 hours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mother. As we say, it is a wrap. It's a wrap, everybody.
It's a wrap.
It's
a wrap.
It's time to go to work. And because we want our name in the book for what we have done for the kingdom. Be kind to someone today. And let somebody know that you are a child of God. Because as the cliche says, you might be the only Jesus they see. Let them
amen.
See. His love and his faith, his mercy
amen.
And his honor. Have a blessed day, family. As we say, Mother, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.